Amen. Thank you for leading us today. Beautiful. So we're in a summer of relationship series. And if you remember all the way back to the beginning, not that long ago, we talked about our relationship with ourself and how there's this connection between giving glory to God and loving your neighbor as yourself, that there's this connection between all three. Then the following week, Pastor BT shared with us that in the midst of all the busyness, do not lose sight of Jesus, that our relationship with God matters so much in our lives. And then we heard from Pastor Nick, who talked about honoring our parents and the difference between honoring and obeying and what it looks like to live out this honoring relationship. Well, today we're talking about the other side of that one. We are talking about relationship to our children. So I'm wondering, what does it take to be a good parent? I'd like you to turn to your neighbor, someone next to you, beside you, around you, and this question is your question. To be a good parent, you must have. So go ahead and turn to the person beside you, around you, front, back, talk to them. Okay, take another 10 seconds, wrap up your thought. So what does it take to be a good parent? Patience. That was like a chorus from every section. Patience. Yes, amen. Anything else? Wisdom. Understanding. There's someone over here. Wisdom, patience, understanding. Love. Job? Yes. That does help, doesn't it? Anyone else over here? Knowledge? Sacrifice? A sense of humor, for sure. That will help. There, we had those moments this week. Joy? Yeah. Say it again. Kindness. Is that right? Good. Jesus. Yeah, so we can teach Jesus. Amen. You know what someone in the first service said? What it takes to be a good parent, you must have children. I'm like, yeah, thanks. Thanks for starting it off. But out of all of these things that make us a good parent, patience, love, joy, Jesus, all of this, I'd like to ask those who are parents in the room, are you winning as a parent? Are you winning as a parent? Would you pray with me? God, oh, your presence has been here with us, and I am so grateful. We've been blessed by you. We invite your spirit to move in our hearts and our minds. Draw us to you and into a richer and fuller understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. So it depends on what stage you're at, how you'd answer that question, or maybe it depends on the moment or the hour that we're at, right? Depends. Because we look at these externals and say, are we winning? Well, let's see if this investment is really working. What do we see happening? What's going on in their lives? What are they doing? What's going on? There's so much that we have to think about when it comes to being parents. The stages that we're at really determine those questions, but there's a lot of them. Homeschool, private school, public school, sleep training, co-sleeping, extracurricular sports, when do they start music, baby wearing, strollers, what college are they going to go to? What are they going to pursue? What's this going to look like? All of these different questions. Jesus tells us very little about these questions, but does tell us about these values with parenting. There's so much, so many questions, so many concerns, so much to be thinking about when it comes to being a parent. Well, if you want to laugh, just Google my plan versus reality or Facebook versus reality, because so many times all those questions that we have or all those things we think about just end up looking very different than what we expect, right? We're surprised by the stuff that happens. That just didn't end up like what I thought it would be, right? No, I was really going for something else. Or maybe this next picture really just didn't end up like what we hoped. And this one is great. And one last more in the best of situation. This summarizes so much. I saw this great idea on Pinterest, and we were just going to make it work, and then nothing was working, right? How many of you have had those days as parents? Anyone? If we're honest, everyone, right? Like anyone who's had those moments. Now, I could just ask that generally. How many of us have had those days? That could be every single person, because there are always experiences that don't end up like we think they will be. But aside from the externals, aside from the Christmas pictures you might be taking coming up, or any of these other things that you might be doing, there are these weighty questions and stress and concern and sleepless nights I hear on both ends. I only know about this side of sleepless nights, but I hear that happens when they're teenagers and going off driving too. There are many stages. Some here today said that this is their last Sabbath before they send their kids off to college for the first time. That's a really challenging and exciting stage. Some are sending their kids off to school for the first time and can't imagine their kids being out of the house that long. Now, some might think that sounds like relief, but there's fear too. Some are seeing their kids become parents for the first time and watching them with the joy of experiencing being parents. Whatever stage we're at, even if not directly speaking to it, the values and the principles of the scriptures speak to these things. We see especially in how Jesus was, in how Jesus interacted with people, how he responded. There were three times that parents came up to Jesus in all the New Testament. Three times that they came in desperation. And you know how Jesus responded every time? Very similar to how he responded with all of the other times that people came up to him with a need. He responded with love, with compassion, with turning his attention towards them, with seeing them, noticing them, bringing his presence. See, Jesus spoke these words of life to people. Jesus brought hope and new birth. He came as the presence of the living Word of God. You know, Eugene Peterson says that God is in the business of making life, and birth is the name of this act. Birth is always a miracle. Naming it a miracle doesn't mean we can't understand it. It means we can't anticipate it, can't reproduce it, can't control it. There's more going on than we can comprehend. Birth is an event that God brings about. Births are both unique and common. He says births evoke awe, wonder, and gratitude, and I would add fear, uncertainty, and pain. Parenting is like this too, isn't it? Parenting is something we can't control. It's common, and yet it's a mystery. At each birth of a child, there's the birth of a parent, a miracle that we understand as it unfolds day after day. So today I share this with you. I share this word of scripture as one who became a parent before I began parenting a child. And I just want to acknowledge that there can be longings and desires before there is fulfillment. I'm sure today there are people listening right now that long to be parents and for whom it hasn't happened yet. And there are people here who didn't imagine being parents and yet found themselves parents sometimes before you had hoped to be parents. And there are people here who are parents and who on most days like it but sometimes don't so much. And there are people here who struggle with their relationship to their parents. And there are some people that struggle and wish for a different relationship with their children. I just want you to know at the start of this that I respect and admire all of you. And I believe in what we're going to look at today, that there's something of value for all of our relationships, whether or not you're engaged in parenting or however you have been parented. If we take these principles of Scripture, there's transformative power for all of our relationships. whatever relationship we're in, it can be powerfully transformed by this single word that we're looking at today, and that is blessing. Our relationships can experience transformation. There's a couple in Scripture who tried for the longest to be parents, Abraham and Sarah. Someone told me, the only thing I don't understand about this story is why they were still wanting it at that age. 100 years old and 90 years old, respectively, Abraham and Sarah somehow were still watching out for this promise of God. They still believed that it was going to happen. And when Isaac even became the age of a man, they were even willing to offer him back to God. They had this amazing faith. The story of Abraham and Sarah lets us know that sooner or later we are going to laugh. No matter how long your waiting might be, whatever you're waiting for in your life, waiting for that child to come back, to turn around, waiting for a restored relationship with your parents, waiting for something else, maybe it is a child for you, God promises that we are going to laugh. I love these words that Sarah says in Genesis chapter 21. She said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. Her Isaac is a reminder that whatever you wait for, God is doing something. He sees something, and don't give up, because he is going to do it. God is at work. So what does parenting mean? Parenting means to bring forth, give birth to, or produce. To parent is to bring forth, to call out something. As you're engaging in the relationship of parenting, whether it's your child, your niece, your nephew, your grandchild, your neighbor kids, maybe it's someone else that God has brought into your life, the greatest gift you can give your children, or I would add anyone else in your life, is to see them. The greatest gift you can give your children or anyone else is to see them. I think that's why people were so drawn to Jesus. It's because he really saw them. He was present. Imagine being in a crowd of people and he says, "Who touched me?" And he notices and he looks. He saw people. He was attentive and present and noticed them. That's what gift he gave to all those people around him. He paid attention. And us as parents and grandparents and friends, we can foster an environment where we are seen and known, where we can show up. Parenting, to bring forth something that is within the other person, to see something in them and to call it out, to notice that which they have in them. Have you had that opportunity to tell your child who they are, what you see in them, what you love about them? You know, the thing is, someone is going to come along and tell your child something else. Someone did that with all of us. Actually, we can probably remember that in elementary school or middle school. Someone came along and said, "You're stupid. You're unlovable. You don't belong. You don't fit." It happens to all of us. But you know, when you speak those words over them again and again and again, those words don't have the lasting power that they would if they weren't hearing that other message. You are loved. You belong here. We see you. We know who you are, and we love you. All of these ways that we speak again and again, you are gentle and you are strong. You bring joy wherever you go. Those messages are loud and resounding and powerful. And those messages counter the ones that unfortunately they will hear, like each of us heard. I see you. I know you. We are invited to speak to the potential of our children. Not necessarily what we see in that moment or what we see in that day, but to speak to what will be. Isn't that what it means to be a Christian too? You come along and you say, "I accept you, I love you," to any person, but then you also, with a twinkle in your eye, is, "Oh man, I see what God is doing, and it's amazing. Oh, I see what's in you. That's incredible." And we do that. We give that gift to each other. When we come alongside and maybe that person is just out of their mind that day, but you speak to what is not as though it were, and you give that gift. We give that gift to each other. Have any of you ever seen the book, The Blessing, by Dr. John Trent and Gary Smalley. Have you seen this book before? This book outlines a way that we can relate to each other and to our children. And there's these 5 points that are really simple about what it means to bless. First of all, offer a meaningful touch, a hand on the shoulder, looking someone in the eye, meaningful touch, a spoken message, attaching high value to the person that you are blessing, speaking towards the meaningful future, that special future God has for them. And then an active commitment to fulfill that blessing. This means unconditionally, I love you. I'm coming alongside you. I'm staying in for the long haul. I'm going to see this blessing fulfilled in you because I'm going to be right there witnessing. As long as I have breath, I want to be right there witnessing this work of God in your life. Now, this isn't something prayed for them, though that's really powerful. Dear God, please be with our children. All of those prayers, powerful, need to happen. But this is something spoken to them by their name, looking them in the eye. So we say this to Josiah all the time. Josiah, you are a joy. You bring so much delight wherever you go. I often say, Josiah, I love the way you love and are loved. We love you so much, but the way you show love to us just brings so much happiness to Mommy and Daddy and Ava and to everyone else. You bring such love wherever you go. We speak these words over our kids. We affirm what is in them, and we tell them again who they are because it's what we see. So I want to give us a chance to be able to see this. Let's get a few more examples. I asked some friends to join me up here. If you could come this direction, friends, I want us to get a chance to be able to see this in action for a moment so that we can hear a little bit more. Come on out. Just stay right there for a moment while I grab you a microphone. Ask them to speak directly to the person and pretend you're not here so that we can get a chance to be able to hear. So you can just speak directly.
Sure. Angela, I'm so thankful for your affirming spirit. You have such a beautiful affirming spirit. And I'll never forget back in February when you held Galentine's at your home. 19 women, you took time and you affirmed each one of us. And not only did you affirm us, but you gave us each a certificate. And I framed mine because it meant so much to me. And you recognized me for my dazzling smile and infectious enthusiasm. Each one of us got one of these. And we were all blessed that day. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your love.
Jarrell, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Okay. I enjoy having you as part of my Sabbath school. I've had both of your brother and your sister in there, and I just saw you as a little kid growing up. But now that you've grown up and gone through, I want you to know how much I enjoyed having you in my Sabbath school for the past 2 years. A couple things I noticed about you that are amazing. One, I remember a time we were sitting at Vespers at somebody's house. I can't remember who it was, but there was a piano in the house, but there was nobody who knew how to play it. Remember that? I remember whose house it was. And I went around and looked to say, who can play? And I don't think I knew what your skill was yet, but I went into the room where the kids were and at the table where you were with your friends, and I said, is anybody volunteer here to play the piano? And everybody volunteered, you. And you tried to get out of, you tried to come up with some excuse to have some contest, and I felt bad because I didn't know how good you were. But then we got in and you said, I'll do it. And you got in, you sat down at the piano, and you're good. And you were able to play every song that we wanted to sing, and you played like you prepared yourself to come, and you were enjoying yourself. And I love that about you, that you're always willing to step up when you're volunteered. I also enjoy listening to you in Sabbath school because you stay quiet most of the time, but you're always thinking. And when I hear something come out of your mouth, it is something wow, he's been thinking about this for a while, and it makes a big difference to us. So thank you so much.
Sam, you are my son, whom I love. You are no longer a little boy. You are growing up. You are well equipped with everything you need to fulfill your destiny as a man of God. Your love of God's creatures and your compassion for the needy will show God's love to those around you and encourage them to seek him. I look forward to seeing what God has in store for you and to see how he is going to use your talents.
Amen.
Nate, you are my son, whom I love. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. All the days ordained for you were written by God even before you were born. Your enthusiasm for beauty, music, and laughter, your integrity, and your willingness to serve bring joy to me and to your community. I see God using your gifts to bring joy to people in the world around you and to help lead them into relationship with him.
Amen.
Noah, you are my son, whom I love. You have grown into a young man as God planned from the foundation of the world. Your value is immeasurable. Your eagerness to participate, your work ethic, your kindness and friendliness lighten the world around you. I pray that God will create in you a hunger and thirst for righteousness that cannot be quenched except with a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that the fruits of this relationship spread to the world around you.
Thank you so much, Scott and DP and Keturah and all of those who got to hear the blessing that each person gave. Those words of blessing are life. Those words of blessing bring light and joy wherever you carry them. You know, the beautiful thing is by our words, we can actually bring people into the very presence of God. God is the blessing, and we put our children into proximity with God as we speak into their lives. And you know what? We give them the opportunity to see themselves as God sees them. We have that opportunity with each other. We have the opportunity to look at each other and give each other that chance to see us as God sees us. So parenting is that daily and hourly witness between the congruence of what we speak and what we say, and we all do it imperfectly. Does that mean that we have to have it all together in order to be parents? No. We're invited to show up, to have the courage to each day, every day, show up and do it all again. Can I get a witness from any parents in the house? We're invited to just do it. Sometimes that's the gift of parenting, right? You just get up and you do it again. And you're courageous enough to do it again and to believe it can look differently again. You see, it's not easy to keep investing in something that you're not sure how it will turn out to be, or you're not always sure on the win. One dad said, the win keeps changing. It was this the other day, and that worked. And then it was different, and it didn't work. Anyone else relate to that? We do one thing, and then suddenly that's no longer working. Or as one mom said, we were good all the way till 17. And then I don't know what happened. Like, other friends, it hit earlier, and I thought we were just good. We were going to be through that. And then I don't know who she is, right? Like, there's these moments that what we thought was the win or what we thought would work isn't working anymore. So Brené Brown says we need to change the win for parenting. She says winning is communicating love and belonging. Winning is communicating love and belonging. Love is not something we give and get, but something we nurture and grow. So it's something that needs to be nurtured between two people, between a parent and child or friends. Belonging is the innate human desire to belong to something larger than us. You know, fitting in actually works in opposite to that, she said, because to fit in, you're trying to match, but to belong, you must be authentically who you are and be loved. and be known. So in your blessing, you're nurturing this love. You're letting your child know that they belong, that they are seen, that they are known, that they are loved. And that is the greatest gift that we can give. This is the gift that Jesus spoke of and lived out. Three of my favorite stories that Jesus told are found in Luke chapter 15. And in Luke 15, Jesus shares this immeasurable worth of each person. There's these stories. And he talks about first about this woman who loses a coin and she searches and she searches and she searches and then she finds it. And when she finds it, she calls everybody and has them celebrate because she has found this coin. And then there's a second story about this sheep. The shepherd had 99 sheep still left in the pen, but because one is lost, the shepherd goes and finds the sheep and says, "Shame on you! You shouldn't have been going away." No, right? That's not your scriptures, right? The shepherd goes and finds the sheep and says, "You're here!" Lifts up the sheep, puts the sheep around his shoulders, and goes back rejoicing because he's back. Never mind the fact that he had 99. That one mattered to the shepherd. That one. And then there's the story of the lost sons, the one that the father runs out to and wraps the cloak around his shoulders, and the one who he invites into the celebration and says, "I love you too." Both sons lost were of immeasurable worth. So God, through Jesus, again and again communicates to us the value of each one. I know God loves all of his children, and God also loves you individually. Personally, God wants to communicate the value of you and you and you. And so God gives us that blessing, and then we get to give that blessing to our children, whether you have one child or whether you have 12. I don't know of anyone who has 12 in here, but you might. And you can communicate that blessing of the immeasurable value and worth of each and every one. That's what God gifts us with, this value of each and every one of us. God blesses us with the presence, with the love, with the seeing, with the knowing, with valuing each of us. And that is the greatest gift that we can offer back to our children. I wasn't raised on a farm, but my mom was. Anyone here raised on a farm? All five of you? Fantastic. Great. Great. Six. Great. That's awesome. I grew up hearing stories, some of which were just hilarious, and some, like my mom riding bareback through fields and laying on the back of cows and looking up into the sky. And there were other stories that, of course, farm life, there's real farm life too, and the early morning hours and the time when all the chickens from the coop had to come in the kitchen because something broke out there and my grandma had them all over. I heard all these stories. These were amazing stories. But you know, there's something, even though someone like me raised in the city, there's something about going out to the farm and to the country that you immediately feel a different pacing, don't you? Like you immediately just, oh, there's a different rhythm, there's seasons, there's stages, there's something going on here that teaches us something different about time. And I feel it immediately. And there's something important about that when it comes to parenting. There was a story of a farmer who was standing along a furrow with his sons planting potatoes. And the guys were little, carrying, weighted down with a burlap sack of potato starts, and they're walking along the furrow methodically because the one who's placing the starts is very meticulous, wholeheartedly helping, but making sure that they're facing just the right way, sometimes reaching down to reposition after he's already placed it. Going along, placing each potato. And this neighbor that had pulled up stopped watching this and then called the farmer over and said, "You're gonna be here forever." He was laughing. "You might want to start doing this all yourself because otherwise you'll be out here underneath the stars planting these potatoes. Better get it done." And the farmer looked at him and said, "I'm raising more than just potatoes here. I'm raising these boys. And it might take a little longer." Right? You're raising God's children. And sometimes it might take a little longer, might be slower. you might get to late to church some days, and it might be messier. Your house could be cleaner right now. Mine could be too. It could be more efficient. We could be more organized, but we're raising God's children. And what is going to be remembered later is the love and the belonging that we communicate, the blessing that we give to our children. They won't remember all of the efficiency, and even though there are some just fantastic ideas on Pinterest and all of those things, those ways that you just are doing fantastic, that all of us want to be exactly like you in that, even that, they will remember more the investment that you make, that love that you give. That blessing is of immeasurable value to your children. It's of immeasurable value to every person around you. And it's the gift that we can give to every one of us, whether it's your friend, like Keturah and Angela, or DP as a Sabbath school teacher, or as a dad to sons. It's a gift that each of us need, the blessing of being seen, being known, and being loved. Imagine if we focused on parenting, bringing forth what is in our kids and blessing it. Imagine if as a community we were looking out for the best in each other, what we can draw out and appreciate in those around us. Imagine what that would be for our day if we did that. The task of parenting can be very overwhelming. Depending on the day and the life stage, you know, even if you're sending off your kid to college, or even if you're sending your kid to school for the first time, whatever stage you're at, it can be challenging. But it's important to remember the one who parents us so well, the one who perfectly parents us, the one who says, I will finish the work that I started in you, the one who says, you are of immeasurable worth and value that I would leave the 99 to search out for you, the one who says, I love you with a never-failing, always and forever love. That's our God, the one who parents us. So while we're on a journey and our kids are on a journey and figuring it out, there's also this God who's on a journey of parenting us and parenting our kids even while we're parenting. And that's the greatest gift. So we don't wait till we have it all together. We are parented as we parent. Ellen White has this beautiful statement for our relationships. She says these words that encourage us to turn in our time of need. Your compassionate Redeemer is watching you with love and sympathy, ready to hear your prayers and render you the assistance that you need. This applies to parents. This also applies to that challenging neighbor and that coworker that gets on your last nerve and anyone else in your life. Notice the words, our compassionate Redeemer is ready to give us what we need. That we can turn in that moment and say, this is so frustrating, God. Give me something I don't have myself. In those moments, God is there and ready to help us. So here's our action. Here's our action challenge for the week. Decide your who, your when, your where, and your how for sharing a blessing. Who is God leading you to bless? This might be your child. This might be your parent. This might be your friend or a child that you see here in church, but who is that person? Just pause for a moment and say, Holy Spirit, God, lead me. Who is that person right now that you want me to speak words of life to? When are you going to speak that? Where are you going to speak that? How are you going to share that with them? For some of you, it might be, okay, at bedtime this week, I'm going to share a blessing with my kids, or I'm going to, over the breakfast table, that wouldn't be the place for us, but maybe it is for you, maybe you have a quieter breakfast routine, but it might be the place for you over the breakfast table, or maybe you're going to search someone out at the fellowship meal today and give a word of blessing. Decide your who, when, where, and how today. And I encourage you, as we're singing and hearing this song, that is blessing the names of God, and our praise team comes out and leads us right now. I am inviting you to think through these specific ways that God is calling you to bless and to not wait. You might have a good word that you can speak later on this week. Later on this week, but speak a word of blessing today. Speak a word to someone before you even leave the Sabbath days today. So as we close, the last verse, God says in Deuteronomy 30 to his people, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Choose blessing. We have so many other words we can say. We have so many other things we can say. But what would it mean if we spoke those words of life and blessing today?